Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Monday, February 17th. I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg's high school basketball teams played in Haines over the weekend. And although both teams lost both games, coaches say there was a stark difference between the two nights. According to coaches, traveling to Haines took a toll on the players Friday. Both teams lost their games that evening, the Vikings 21-44 and the Lady Vikings 21-41. But boys coach Rick Brock says the Vikings were able to bounce back on Saturday in a remarkably close back-and-forth game against Haines's Glacier Bears.
It was a well-played game on our part. Just, you know, what you would want to see. We battled and fought every possession. Like I said, we were down a couple of guys, but real proud of the guys for their fight.
Brock says in the end, the Vikings needed just one more basket, but ultimately lost 48-50. Even so, he says he's happy with the progress the team made, and he hopes the Vikings can channel that kind of energy for the rest of the season. Girls coach Matt Powick says the Lady Vikings also had a much more competitive game on Saturday. He says they held a lead through the third quarter, and Haines had to switch defense tactics.
Haines, you know, they haven't lost very many games this year, so for them to have to kind of adjust because they were having so much trouble with our zone offense was I was very encouraged by that.
Although the Lady Vikings lost to Haines' Lady Glacier Bears on Saturday, 27-36, Powick says the team is motivated to push forward.
They were really encouraged with just the difference from one night to the next and the improvement that we made. And I really do think that their, you know, spirits seem to be in good shape. And I think everybody's excited to see how next weekend goes against Wrangell. And then I think the girls believe this too, that, you know, regionals, it really could be any two of the five teams in Southeast that go up to state this year.
Next, Petersburg's Vikings and Lady Vikings take on their rivals in Wrangell at their homecoming this weekend, February 21st and 22nd. It'll be the last basketball games before the regional tournament next month. Near the end of its two-week meeting, the Alaska Board of Fisheries considered a proposal to close off a small bay north of Sitka to commercial herring fishing. The proposal earned support from Sitka's subsistence community, but ultimately was rejected by the Board of Fish on a split vote. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Promisla Bay is a cove about 10 miles northwest of Sitka. In the last few years, as schools of herring have become more heavily concentrated in areas farther from town, the bay has become increasingly important for subsistence harvesters to harvest herring eggs on branches. Last fall, a traditional harvester proposed the Board of Fish close the area to the commercial sacro herring fishery. Sitka's Fish and Game Advisory Committee vacillated on its support for the proposal, initially voting it down in November before reversing its decision in January. It showed up at the board's table with support from the local committee and the public. At the Board of Fish meeting, traditional harvester Paulette Moreno called for the Promisla Bay area to be protected.
So we have been cultivating this area to come back to more of an abundance for our traditional harvest. It is closer to town. It is safer for our harvesters on small skiffs to be able to reach the bay. This is an area that is safer, more economically feasible, and that produces herring eggs that we would feed our family.
Advocates for the proposal noted state data that shows few commercial harvests have been taken from Promisla Bay in the last decade. At the same time, the subsistence harvest has continued to supply more eggs to communities around the state. Tora Zamora of Ketchikan visited Sitka to help with the harvest last year.
It really is the capital of the herring. It's just full of life. And it was just so inspired by all the life that was happening and the opportunity to participate in culture and feed our community throughout Southeast Alaska, not even just Sitka, and provide eggs for here in Ketchikan too, because they provide for so many throughout Southeast Alaska in Chicacoan.
Several commercial seiners pushed back on the proposal. Permit holder Marcus Nelson of Metlakatla said it was unnecessary, as commercial fishermen don't go into the bay if they see subsistence sets.
If somebody is subsistence fishing in the area, every permit holder immediately moves out of the area. It does not bother the area where they're subsisting, and they can subsist in the closed area, which is 10 miles that the permit holders already relinquished quite a number of years ago.
Some board members were swayed by the testimony in favor of closing the bay to commercial fishing. Board Chair Merrick Carlson Van Dort called it an exceptional circumstance of the subsistence economy.
I think the more I've listened to this discussion, the more hard over I've become, yes, that this is important. And not only for that reason, but also because of the safety considerations that we also heard in public testimony. This is relatively easily accessible, you know, calmer waters areas, not out in the open. You can get there in a small open water skiff, and you can harvest safely in this area. At least that's what I heard in public testimony. I don't think it's unreasonable, especially considering the low use that this bay has had in the commercial fishery in at least the last 10 years, and I'm a solid yes at this point.
But board member Tom Carpenter said the low commercial use of the area demonstrated that the proposal wasn't necessary.
If people would have come up and said we can't go in there because the harvest on the commercial side is too much, they're interfering with, you know, our subsistence activities, I just didn't hear that. So I think that this is kind of a a unique situation around Sitka, and obviously I take it very seriously, but, I mean, until it can be demonstrated that there is a real conflict, I just can't support it.
Ultimately, the proposal failed on a 3-4 vote. Of all the herring proposals it considered, the Alaska Board of Fisheries approved only 3, all submitted by state fishery managers. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The Ketchikan School Board on Wednesday approved combining its 3 elementary schools by grade level. The restructuring plan will consolidate kindergarten through 3rd grade at the 2 outlying schools and 4th through 6th grades at the central one. As KRBD's Michael Finelli reports, the move is an attempt to make up for a growing budget deficit.
The grade-level restructuring plan is estimated to save the Ketchikan School District about $1.3 million a year. The school board approved the plan 5-1, with school board member Allie Ginter the sole no vote. The vote came after the board heard from parents like Alicia Aldrich, whose husband serves at the local Coast Guard base. She said they had worked hard to extend their family's time in Ketchikan so that her 2 sons could stay in the same high school. But they're now reconsidering the decision to stay.
For one of our boys, astronomy and aviation classes were taken away. For the other, robotics club, and most recently, the auto shop class. For both of our sons, Spanish 2.
Cutting electives has been part of the school district's response to flat funding from the state and declining enrollment. The proposal passed Wednesday was created as a way to help cover projected budget deficits while preserving as many remaining programs as possible. Aldrich said the worsening education situation is compromising Ketchikan's reputation as a Coast Guard-friendly city.
For our sons, our 6 years here would be the longest they have ever lived anywhere. Ketchikan is home.
Recent cuts for older students was one reason why board member Jordan Tabb said he was supporting the restructuring plan. Tabb said he has middle and high school-aged kids and is concerned about the additional cuts necessary if they didn't approve the change.
While I think we're right to look at how challenging primary education may be for some families under a specialization model, the trade-off of not trying to make some like savings and changes in how we use those primary schools, the other side is the impact that it has on our secondary kids.
Tabb also said that there's long been a concern that the 2 outlying elementary schools are underutilized and the in-city schools are overutilized. The new plan is supposed to help even out class sizes, according to the district. The vote came as a surprise to some in the community. During an interview with KRBD on Tuesday, Board President Michelle O'Brien had said she expected no action on the proposal this week because the board still needed more time to hear from residents. After the vote passed, she apologized for having caused any confusion.
That was my gut feeling, my personal gut feeling, because obviously I can't go and poll the board. A motion had to be made to enter into any sort of discussion whatsoever regarding that item. Someone made the motion, someone seconded it. We called for a vote. So if I inadvertently upset anyone in the community, I do personally apologize.
During the same meeting, the board also considered a plan to close one of the elementary schools, Point Higgins. They voted unanimously against it, saying it would only be considered under the worst-case scenario that the state doesn't approve any new funding. Legislators are currently debating education funding, but local school board member Tom Hewitt brought a reassuring update from Senator Bert Stedman, who co-chairs the powerful Senate Finance Committee.
And he assured us that, or he recommended that we make our plans based on a $680 increase in the BSA. I asked him, so I can go back to my district and say this, right? And he said, yes, say that.
At the end of the meeting, one board member expressed hope that the restructuring may not have to happen if the state approves a bill that would provide a substantial increase to the funding formula over the next 3 years. In Ketchikan, I'm Michael Finelli.
Last month, President Donald Trump issued an executive order to eliminate federally funded programs that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. That order could affect a wide range of programs in Alaska, from climate research to summer camps. KCAW's Meredith Reddick spoke with the leaders of two Sitka nonprofits about how they're grappling with the uncertainty.
On any given day, a handful of projects are in motion at the Sitka Sound Science Center. In an upstairs room, a group is meeting to coordinate regional landslide monitoring. In another, a graduate student lowers urchins into a tank for climate research. And a few blocks away, a staff member is teaching kindergartners about forces and motion on the elementary school playground.
We're in every single classroom here in Sitka every single year.
Sitka Sound Science Center Executive Director Arlie Reynolds oversees all of these programs, and right now he's wondering whether they'll be funded next year. Following Trump's executive order, staff at the National Science Foundation and other agencies are flagging grants with a wide range of keywords, like climate change and indigenous communities. That could spell trouble for organizations like the Science Center, which gets about two-thirds of its funding from federal sources like the National Science Foundation. Reynolds says the executive order, combined with a freeze that paused federal grants last month, puts the center's work in limbo.
All of the nonprofits are trying to figure out not just how to get through the next few weeks or this year, but how to, you know, how do we not just survive, but continue to do the great work we all do long term.
Reynolds says he's already thinking about reframing grant proposals for next year, avoiding words that might trigger scrutiny. He also plans to shift some focus from climate research to community preparedness for disasters like landslides.
I hate to do that, but we're in uncharted territory here, you know, and I think it's better to do something like that and then still be able to do the great work you do than to lose the ability to do that work.
He says the Science Center doesn't have plans to lay off staff, and he's cautiously optimistic that funding will stabilize.
It isn't just affecting red states or blue states or red people or blue people. Everybody's going to be impacted by this. And that's why I have faith that it will, that the right things will prevail. It may take a little time.
On the other side of Lincoln Street, Sitka Fine Arts Camp Executive Director Roger Schmidt is wrestling with another set of federal guidelines. The camp, which serves kids from rural Alaska and 20 other states, has regularly received annual funding from the National Endowment for the Arts, or NEA, for decades. Earlier this month, the NEA announced it would prioritize projects celebrating the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Schmidt says that isn't likely to fly with his campers.
You know, if I say to our students, hey, we're going to do Camp 2026 and its theme is going to be the Declaration of Independence, you know, that's not why the Fine Arts Camp is successful.
He says the camp is about fostering self-expression, which means not telling students what to create.
What we want to hear from you, what we want to see from you, is we want to see what you care about as an artist.
Schmidt says the camp will operate as usual this summer. In the long term, it could continue without NEA funding, but it could mean serving fewer students.
The question is, how many scholarships do you want to provide families that wouldn't be able to afford this service? Or how much of Alaska do you want to serve as a state?
Both nonprofit leaders in Sitka, Schmidt and Reynolds, say they won't let uncertainty get in the way of their work. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.